dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. And who better to take an intelligence brief from than the former chairman of the House Intelligence Committee? He is Congressman Pete Hoekstra, now retired but very actively engaged, I'm happy to say, in the public policy debate about, well, national security in general, but specifically some of the things that are very much in the news at the moment, including the Comey affair and the Russian influence operations, what's happening in the United Kingdom, and more. We'll be delighted to have a chance to talk with him about all of these things. Congressman, thanks so much for joining us. Great to have you back.
It's good to be back. Thank you, Frank.
Let me ask you first and foremost, you were, of course, formerly the chairman of a committee, very like the one that had the hearing yesterday. What did you make of the testimony of James Comey, the former director of the FBI, and how it bears upon this set of questions that he's been involved in involving this Russian influence operation and the Trump campaign?
Well, I agree with most of the pundits out there that I thought it was a blockbuster testimony, but I thought it was blockbuster for a different reason than what most of the mainstream media was thinking about. I was, actually very surprised what it told us about Jim Comey. This was a guy that caved into Loretta Lynch to frame the Clinton investigation in political terms that would be favorable to Hillary Clinton. This was an FBI director that continually accused the president of being a liar and started off by saying, you know, hey, no, the FBI was running great. And just because the president fired me and disagreed with me, that makes him a liar. And I think the most shocking thing was when he admitted that his personal notes, he gave them to a colleague or a friend of his to give to the New York Times for publication. So all of a sudden, our law, you know, the chief law enforcement officer in the country now becomes the chief leaker in the country, and he does it for political reasons.
Yeah. Let me ask you about that, Congressman, because this is really such a troubling thing on so many different scores, but not least is the fact that what he clearly was trying to do, he said was the justification for this breach, perhaps illegal activity at that, for that matter, but he said he wanted to create a special counsel to investigate the president. And I just wonder, Congressman Hoekstra, whether the fact that he engineered that and that the man appointed to perform that function turns out to be one of his closest friends and longest time associates doesn't really raise a question of a conflict of interest on the part of Bob Mueller that should be disqualifying for him to perform this function. What are your thoughts?
I think you're getting very close to, what's a real problem. I think, you know, Bob Mueller has a tremendous amount of respect all across Washington, D.C. and across the country. Those who know who the FBI director is or a former FBI director. But, James Comey orchestrated, you know, he didn't orchestrate it on his own. But clearly he played a key role in this, and his friendship with Mueller, yeah, it does raise a lot of questions about personal conflicts of interest. And, you know, the pressure is really going to be on here that Bob Mueller has to prove that his loyalty is to the job and not to a former colleague and to a former close and still a close friend.
Yeah, indeed. Congressman, let me ask you specifically about the investigation that he was supposedly conducting into what the Russians were up to and into the whole matter of whether it had any bearing on the actual outcome of the campaign. Even Chris Matthews, famously a partisan with tingling legs, seems to be writing this thing off now as there's no there there, as he put it on air the other day. What's your take on whether there is, as a result of Comey's testimony, still further reason to be pursuing what thus far seems to be a will of the wisp, or witch hunt, if you will, or whether really it's time to shut this darn thing down?
Well, I think clearly the investigation needs to continue in terms of what the Russians were doing to try to influence our election process. You know, what did they do? What did they do in cyber? What did they do in human intelligence and all of those types of things? But clearly, the part of the investigation that, you know, which talked to, or, you know, the speculation, well, there needs to be an investigation into collusion between the Russians and the Trump campaign. You know, I think that has to be called into question. And, you know, hopefully Mueller wraps it up very, very quickly. I think most people have been saying now for the last, you know, the last 4 or 5 months, whether it's the heads of the intelligence community, whether it is, you know, people in Congress when asked about, have you seen any evidence of collusion? They're all saying the same thing. They're all saying, no, we've seen no evidence of collusion. So, yeah, okay, let's make that stop and let's focus on where this whole thing started from, which is what we now know the least about. What were the Russians doing and how successful were they?
And in that regard, Congressman Pete Hoekstra, how important do you think it is to have appropriate context and a broader focus for this effort to look at what the Russians have historically been doing, including, it must be said, with a succession of Democratic political operatives and leaders, including the President of the United States, Barack Obama, to influence elections or otherwise to engage in sort of collusive activity at the expense of the national security?
You guys have been just awesome at identifying the links between, you know, people in the Obama and Hillary Clinton world to the Russians, you know, whether it's Podesta's, whether it's, you know, the uranium sale, whether it's Bill Clinton's speaking fees and those kinds of things.
Skolkovo, this Silicon Valley in Russia. Yeah. These are critical problems. Should they also be the subject of investigation?
Absolutely. Because this is not just a one-off of the 2016 elections. Because you know what? The Russians just don't gear up when there's a presidential election. The Russians, the Chinese, they are involved, you know, 24/7 every year in counterintelligence activities and trying to influence government decisions and gain access to our policymakers in one way or another. We need a full understanding of not only what they did in the election, but what they do once there's an administration in place to gain access to the decision makers.
Amen. Congressman, you've been commenting, if I can turn to one last topic with you quickly, intensively on lots of platforms around the country, around the world for that matter, about what's going on in the United Kingdom in the aftermath of these several attacks. I'd like to ask you about that as well as the upshot of the election there yesterday with the seeming rather dramatic reversal of fortunes of Theresa May's Tory Conservative Party.
Well, I believe that Theresa May is the stronger candidate against homegrown terrorism and all those types of things. Her record as Home Secretary for 6 years and her record as a Prime Minister for 1 year leaves a lot to be desired. And so I think as bad as Jeremy Corbyn's record is, you know, they didn't look at May as saying, oh, you know, she's really, really good and tough on terrorism. The bottom line in the UK, Frank, as you and I well know, their problems go back 20 years to, you know, the mid 90s when they invited in the Libyan Islamic Fighting Group, a terrorist organization, a jihadist organization. Only for one reason. They didn't, you know, this group didn't like Gaddafi. In 2000, you know, 9, 10, and 11, they let these people go back to Libya fight against Gaddafi, get all the skills that they need to carry out terrorism, and then they welcomed them back into the country. And, you know, they have these terrorist attacks. The problems in the UK go very, very deep. They're very, very wide, and there's a lot to be concerned about. And, again, the solution that received the most focus in the last 7 days was we need to control social media. Give me a break.
This is a subject for a much longer conversation. So much more to talk to you about. Let's do it again soon, my friend. In the meantime, thanks for the great work you do with the Investigative Project on Terror. We'll talk again soon.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.